Hey, how's it going?
Hi. Yeah, good. Got a question. It's quite a long question. With a few twists and turns and a proposition, but it sort of needs explaining because it's quite complicated. So, right. Stop me along the way if you think I've gone wrong.
Okay.
But I think to most people, morality seems to be a human invention. It's not absolute. It moves with the times. We choose our own rules, which we want to live by, you know. We treat others how we want to be treated, etc. But it must be innate to a certain degree, evolved through group selection, favouring cooperation, empathy, etc. I.e., we do it because it works. And it's this, the whole thing sparked with our conversation about the bear, that I'd forgive a bear for ripping my hand off for no apparent reason before I'd forgive a human, because we think humans have a sense of morality and should know better. We decide the bear doesn't have a morality, right? But maybe it's a different morality, i.e. that violence, that aggression, kill or be killed, that's its best way to make its genes survive. So in a way, we're like the bear doing what's best, which we would say what's right, to survive. Our compassion is a survival mechanism, just like a shell or claws. Thoughts?
Yeah, well, so I'll put a few more pieces in play here. I think people draw the wrong lesson from evolution and the scientific picture of what human nature is and what human morality likely is, as derived from the evolution of social primates like ourselves. So if you're religious, obviously you look at the story being told by science and you say, well, it's clearly not morality. That this is just the happenstance of biological evolution, and much of what has evolved is clearly abhorrent morally, right? You know, we've evolved to with a very strong proclivity for out-group violence and even some sorts of in-group violence. Rape is arguably an evolved strategy. You know, humans are not the only species that rape. So if you're going to get your morality from nature, you're not going to have anything like the morality that people have been right to single out as the most important aspect of our humanity. And to have that, you have to get that from religion, right? So that's the way they break this up.
Well,
and I think there's a third path here. That's what I would say.
Yeah. I think that when we say, and you're right, our morality evolves all the time. We don't do the things that animals do because we think this way to live is better. I would say this, though. All the things that we denounce that animals still do, murder, rape, whatever, cannibalism, right? We still do those things, but we just do them to other species. So we think that we don't think that's as immoral as doing it to our own species, which seems a bit biased, you know? So I think religion gives us that sense of superiority, because some religious people think that God made man to dominate the planet, for the animals were there for him to eat or whatever, you know? And I think we can dismiss that, because particularly us two, because we don't believe that. So I think we can leave religion out of it. And my question is morale, all the things we do them sort of because they work, i.e. it doesn't work anymore to go around murdering because it's not good for our species to murder each other, is it?
Well, so I would just, here is what I think the fundamental error is here. There's two scientific projects that are easily confused, but they're distinct. The first is to understand how we got here. There's a, how is it that we evolved to this point, and what is it that has created the brains that we currently have? And so that's the story of evolutionary biology and psychology, and that's where many scientists seem to stop in their thinking about morality. But there's a distinct project, which is we can scientifically understand what's possible given what we are and given what we'll become as we begin to meddle with our own genomes and continually augment ourselves with technology. And then there's a question, just how good can life be, right? How happy is it possible for apes like ourselves to be? And what experiences are on offer in this universe? And what should we do next in light of what's possible? And all of those questions have scientific answers. I mean, I view morality as a navigation problem. There's a range of possible experiences, both individually and collectively, on offer. And some of them really suck, right? And they're worth avoiding, right? And I call the worst end of the spectrum here the worst possible misery for everyone, right? If you just imagine a universe that realizes the worst possible misery for everyone, that's the worst case scenario. And if anything is bad or evil, it's that, if those words mean anything. And then we want to navigate away from that to unimaginably better circumstances for creatures like ourselves and for others, any conscious system. You know, so we would like creatures we will never meet to be happy. If we could make them happy, that would improve the universe. But you know, and the interesting moral questions come personally and socially when there seem to be trade-offs between the well-being of me and my family and the well-being of society, and those zero-sum collisions seem interesting, and they can be difficult to figure out, and in certain cases they can be impossible to figure out. But even that doesn't mean there aren't right answers to how to square these equations. I mean,
I think the difference is that introspection, that intelligence, because most animals don't calculate what's best to do. They do what their instinct tells them to do, and it's either right or wrong. And so they've come from a long line of animals that have made the right decision. The right decision being living long enough to pass on your genetic material.
Right.
That's what we're talking about. What's right and wrong, aren't we, in terms of what works?
For animals, but not for ourselves anymore.
Well, that's exactly anymore, because before us, there wasn't a sense of self. And I think that's the problem, because it's when evolution and the question of where we're going and why and happiness, it tips over into politics. It is suddenly political, because very often the individual's needs do conflict with what's right for most people. Or, you know, even utilitarianism sort of argues amongst itself. Act and rule utilitarianism. Do not walk on the grass. There's someone having a heart attack. Of course you walk on the grass. You know? So I think the conflict is saying what's right for an individual versus what's right for a gene pool, or just what's right. Because sometimes, okay, here's an example. The law works because it stops people doing some bad things that they might do otherwise. And, you know, there's a sliding scale. If picking flowers from people's gardens was legal, you know, more people would do it. If stealing bikes was legal,
wait
more
a minute,
people
that's not legal. You can't pick. What if the flower is just intruding upon the sidewalk? I've seen my daughters.
There are strict rules. There are strict rules about overhanging what you can pick, what's yours, what's in your garden. So they get complicated to, you know, protect the individual and therefore everyone. But when you get to something like, you know, if killing someone for a laugh was legal, well, first of all, I'd get better security, but I wouldn't go around killing people. I just wouldn't.
Have you met the religious person who will die on that hill? I was once debating Rick Warren. I don't know if you know him. He's a big mega church pastor, or was in the U.S. I haven't heard much of him of late, but he wrote The Purpose-Driven Life, which at the time was the best-selling book in English ever, other than you know, translations of the Bible. I think at one point it was just, this is now, you know, close to 20 years ago, it was the biggest nonfiction book ever.
Wow.
But he, I mean, this just to give you a sense of what an operation his megachurch was, when I went to debate him, it was a private debate in his office, right? It was just the two of us and John Meacham, who was then running Newsweek. And so John Meacham was moderating, and it's just me and Rick in his office in his church. But we walked by the internal travel agency to the church had 40 full-time travel agents. That's what an operation of this church was. But anyway, on this point, he said, yeah, if there were no God and the Bible was just fiction, I'd be raping and killing people.
Wow.
And I said, really? That's an honest confession of how you would want to live in the absence of God? And he said, absolutely. And I said, well, then how do you explain the fact that I'm not raping and killing people?
Yeah.
And he just said, well, you have what we call natural grace, but I don't. So he was just happy to claim to be a psychopath.
Did God give you that? Think God gave you that natural grace?
Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
Anyway, it's amazing to hear. I mean, I actually don't think it's an honest confession of psychopathy, but there are people who will pretend to view themselves and other people that way.
Yeah, I don't think he would either. Anyway, what I'm saying is we do have a morality outside getting caught, getting punished. We just do. We don't do because we don't want to live with ourselves. There's loads of things you could do and get away with, but you wouldn't sleep at night. And now, what is that? What is guilt? What makes us a good person, even if we're not? You know, what is an innate morality? That, again, is that a sense of honor that you've taught yourself? You've conditioned, you've become a good person. All the input, it's come out just right. Is it luck? Is there a gene? Are some people born evil? Are some people born
actually
bad?
I have an example. I have an example of a moral quandary that is very real for me right now. Perhaps you can help me sort it out. And you seem to be in an interesting position with respect to this. So, because I just noticed on Twitter, you got your first dose of the vaccine recently.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, how's that going? Any side effects? How do you feel?
Nah, felt a bit.
Nice.
Felt a bit tired, took a Lemsip, fine, no side effects.
And which did you get?
AstraZeneca.
Oh, okay.
You know, some people are saying, like, again, conspiracy theorists, saying that it was a saline solution and I've been paid by the powers that be.
No.
Yeah.
No. Well, yeah. Okay, so in the States, you know, my cohort is still not up for vaccination at this point, but I mean, so here's the dilemma. There's a total breakdown in kind of the orderly dispensing of the vaccine now. So I'm surrounded by people who have been vaccinated who should be in line behind me, right?
Right. Why? Because of age?
Because of age and, yeah, largely because of age. But so I don't have any conditions that would cause me to get it earlier than I would get it just based on my age. But, it's one of those moments where, so the policy around giving the vaccine has been so silly. It's an obviously bad policy in how they're prioritizing giving the vaccine. So, like, there's been explicitly racial policies put out where, you know, if you have the right skin color, you can get it. What we should be doing is just vaccinating people as quickly as possible. And when you mix this with vaccine hesitancy, right, where many people and specific groups more than others are reluctant to get vaccinated, what we're witnessing are literally slots going unfilled and vaccine getting wasted in certain cases. I mean, they're just crazy stories. It's one of those situations where I have a very strong feeling that, you know, collectively and even personally, you know, we all have an interest in this process being as orderly and as efficient and as compassionate as possible.
Well,
and yet, but there's a breakdown. It's a little bit like where you see those, you know, the images of, you know, where humanitarian aid is getting dispensed from a truck and there's an orderly line, but then the line starts to erode and people start kind of grabbing stuff. And then people are just grabbing stuff. And then the person who's deciding to stay in the line is running the risk of either getting nothing or waiting far longer than they need to.
I think there's two things at work here, because I kept checking every day, when is it my age group? You know, so he's younger than me. Oh, he's probably got an underlying condition. Oh, he's younger than me. Oh, okay, yeah, he's, you know, it's like that, you know, when you're in on the motorway in three lanes, there's a psychological thing that you always, whatever line you're in, you think the other two lines are going faster.
Mm.
Right. So there's that. I don't think.
But here's the dilemma. I haven't gotten to the actual dilemma here. So,
oh, sorry.
So I was sent a link to sign up for a vaccine. Mm. All I had to do was I had to put in all of the relevant variables: age, ethnicity, occupation, you know, everything that concerns them. And doing that without misrepresenting anything, I was given an appointment in 3 weeks to get the vaccine. And yet, all of the ambient chatter around this moment suggests that the website is just built badly enough so as to not exclude anyone who signs up for an appointment. So the spirit of that link was that it shouldn't apply to me yet. Who knows if it will apply when my appointment rolls around, but I have an appointment for a vaccine, which I got without having to misrepresent anything about myself. And so I'm torn as to what to do based on that.
Well, that's incredible. Once again, your goodness has surprised me, because I thought your dilemma was going to be the opposite, that you were annoyed that people more vulnerable than you were getting the vaccine, whereas you wanted it. So if you were going to say, it's not my fault they're more vulnerable, they should have looked after themselves. I'm Sam Harris, give me my vaccine. In my head, I was going to try and talk you down from being cruel. But it's
Do you realize that Rick, we just discovered that Rick Warren has a better opinion of me than you do. and he's a psychopath.
Because I thought you were going to say it's a ridiculous. Well, I remember when I was a kid, there was an article in the paper. This guy, you know, one of these sort of shock columnists, going, "It's absolute poppycock. Women and children first. Off the boat. That's ridiculous. How could they start a new civilization? It should be based on what, you know." And I remember our teacher reading it and going, "What an idiot." Like a boat full of people are going to start humanity. It's just being kind to the vulnerable, you know. So I thought I was going to have to put that forward, that this is the equivalent of women and children first on a sinking ship.
Right.
But you think that you should own up and say, "I don't think I need it yet." Well, that's interesting as well, because I couldn't wait for it. Not because I thought I couldn't survive it, but because I thought, I was filming soon, and I was going to have to come in contact with people, and I wanted everyone to get it, and you know, just because I wanted it as soon as possible, so I was allowed to do things. So in England, you know, I'm actually, with all the screw ups that have happened, I'm actually very, very proud of how it's gone. You know, I think they've done. Obviously, scientists are going to save us again. There's no doubt about that.
That part's fantastic. The fact that we managed to do this within a year. It's just amazing.
But I've always said that when, if there was a meteor aimed at Earth, a few billion people would pray to their God, and a few hundred scientists would get Bruce Willis up there to stop it. And that's what makes me laugh with these people. I did a frivolous tweet once: "Have a great day, my fellow apes." And someone said, "Speak for yourself. I'm not an ape," right? And then you look, and it's based in religion, which is fine. And then he was arrogant. He said, "When has a gorilla ever got walked on the moon?" I wanted to go, "So hold on." I want to go, wait. So if you're judging the word of a gorilla with how it's walked on the moon, what have you ever done, mate? What's this? We've walked on the moon. You live in a fucking bin, son. You've done nothing. So don't side with the scientists when they come up with something to show that you're superior. It's a funny arrogance, isn't it? That people, they side with science when it sort of suits them.
Do you know the comic Nate Bargatze?
No.
I just saw a little bit he put out on Twitter. It's funny. He imagines getting into a time machine and going back 100 years, you know, and being a person from the future, but he's so technically uninformed and incompetent that he imagines he literally would not be able to convince anyone he was from the future, because he just doesn't have enough knowledge to display anything impressive.
I think that. Yeah. I think I'd have to take back gadgets and tools, because I couldn't. Yeah. I'd sort of know about things, but I don't know. I wouldn't know how to make a wheel.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know how they did it. Right. Do we chop a log in half? With what? We need a saw. What's that? Okay, right. Okay, let's start again. No, I wouldn't. I also worry of that as well. When they find one example of a skeleton and put it together and they go, well, this is what the species was like. Whereas I look around and I think, well, we look very different. You know, you wouldn't want them to dig up some people and think that was all of us.
That's right.
So, I've told this story before, but when I was a kid, the council, if you threw away a fridge or a cooker or something, the council would charge you like £5 to take it away. So my dad buried them all. My dad would dig a big hole in the garden. He'd bury cookers, fridges, mangles, right? He buried pets, like, you know, dogs and cats.
Oh, my God.
And I just think of an archaeologist in a million years' time. Well, these dogs were cooking.
Oh, my God. That's peculiar. So was there any weird social experience born of that?
Was people knowing? It was like, why should I pay someone to take away an old cooker? I can save £5 or whatever.
But how do the neighbors treat the family watching your dad bury a dog beside a refrigerator?
Well, that didn't happen very well. We only had a couple of dogs. But again, you know, I think a lot of people buried their pets when they died in their garden, as opposed to slung them in the river or put them in a bin. I think it was quite a respectful thing to it. The cooker, not so much.
Right.
One was saving money. But yeah, I think of that very often, that if I went back in time, that I wouldn't have the knowledge to be impressive. That's funny.
So here's another moral dilemma, which I think is...
Is this going to be if Hitler's got diabetes? Yeah, should you get it before you?
This is related. This is very much the same topic, but this is taboo to even talk about. But I think you could make the case that very early on in this vaccination rollout, it should have been okay for very rich people to buy vaccines and have that money go to obviously good causes, right? So Jeff Bezos should have been able to buy a vaccine for $1 million, you know, the first moment they were available.
Mm.
And just put that money toward the, you know, whatever you want to put
okay.
it toward.
Well, right? Again, it depends, because if it's like having private healthcare, that works because rich people can pay more, go private, and it doesn't strain the NHS. Okay. But because there's a ticking clock of rich people paying for it first, people could die during the time they paid and got their vaccine. So it's different.
There is that ticking clock, but you're talking about suddenly unleashing millions and millions. I mean, I think you could have raised in the States, I'm sure you could have raised hundreds of millions of dollars immediately and put that toward the whatever most pressing concern you have. I mean, if the concern is social inequality or inequality of healthcare, you could have dumped that right into the neediest cases, right? And it could have been billions of dollars.
Again, it comes down to who decides, because there are people who wouldn't benefit for where that money's going that say, well, I wanted the vaccine. It's like you're still going to have the same. You're still going to have.
There's always trade-offs. Yeah.
We could solve it all now. We could solve pretty much everything outside very, very bad luck. We could solve a lot of things now, but we don't.
Yeah.
So I think that's always going to be the question. You know, what can I do? Why should I? Haven't I done enough? Who's in charge? You know, and I think that's the case. They did experiments with people on a train station where a guy was getting bullied, and the experiment didn't know his experiment. Mm-hmm. If they were by themselves, they said, hey, leave him alone, right? If they with a group of people, also they were in the experiment, they didn't know, he didn't say anything, this guy, because he thought it would be someone else's problem.
Yeah.
And they even did it that if he was facing the attack, he did sum up, but if he's facing the other way, he didn't. Because he was saying, he was saying, well, you can't see it. It's not your problem. So we do all these tricks all the time. You know, I just saw someone scrape a car, but if I report it, that's the right thing, but I'll be late for work. I didn't do it. He'll find out. He's got his insurance. We make those decisions we do them all the time. But when it comes to the big one, and we're sort of right, we can't do much. I can't solve famine, right? But I can make sure I don't waste food. I can give to charity. I can not rip anyone off. I cannot, you know, I can do all these things to try and make the world a slightly better place. And I think even without religion, you sort of want to go out of the world with a balance. I want to have done more good and less bad than do you know what I mean? And I think there's much you can do, because there are heroes, the brave people that lay their life down. And I'm not that brave. You know, I don't think I would run into a burning building to save a stranger. I don't know, but
I would like to see that video of you standing on the sidewalk wondering whether or not you should run into the burning building.
I'd really want to, and I'd assess it. And if I thought there was a chance that I could save someone and not die, then I'd really try. But if it looked like
someone has to make the short film, Ricky Gervais does not run into a burning building save a child.
I did that. That Proust questionnaire for Vanity Fair once, an interview, and it said, how would you like to die? And I said, saving a baby from a burning building. Then I went, no, wait, that I'd like to die in my sleep dreaming that I'm saving a baby from a burning building.
Well, listen, I think there's still a chance for you to be a moral hero, and I want to support that in you, and I'm very happy you got the vaccine, even though had you gotten it in my country, you would be a moral monster because you don't qualify.
People were, honestly, they think that it's a sailor. They think that it's crazy what they think. We should talk about conspiracy theories next, because I think that is replacing religion a little bit. Mm-hmm. As religion dies, people need something. I don't believe some of them. I don't believe all the flat earthers really believe. Some I think they're trolling, but we should talk about that another time. What is this? I put a line in Afterlife. My character says, why would people rather be known for being an arsehole than not be known at all? And I think we've seen the rise of infamy being as good as fame. Mm. People don't care. They just want to be noticed. They want to be heard. And I think it's the beginning of everything that's bad. I think all the worst things, all the terrible things that have happened in the world that's caused by someone has usually been a narcissistic man. It's like, we should talk about that as well. What is it? What is narcissism? But anyway, I hope you get your vaccine soon.
Yeah, well, I'll blame you if I morally transgress too early here.
This is the one thing we don't have to do, women and children first, because they're less vulnerable than you, statistically.
Right. It's amazing to consider just how different our response would be had this all been flipped around and it were, you know, killing children preferentially. The last year would have been far more dire in our response, and I'm sure our response would have been much more efficient But
beaches and clubs and raves would have been full of old people.
Yeah.
Young people sitting at home going, look at those fucking idiots. Look at those fucking idiots. instead, that was me. That was me watching the telly going, look at those fucking idiots. My gigs have been cancelled and those fucking twats are dancing on the beach. Silly cunts. So
I take it back. It would have been better.
Cheers.